Welcome to the broadcast of Alive and Remain Ministries. Please stay tuned after the message to find out how you can order a copy and learn more information about this dynamic ministry. Now, here's your host, Pastor John Massey Jr.
Thought-provoking subject tonight, one that I hope and trust will be extremely impactful, and that it will challenge you and inspire you to avoid its consequences. I have to give you some reference scriptures, and we're going to eventually go to Hebrews chapter 10, but I need you to hold Matthew chapter 13 and turn with me to the last book before the book of Revelation, the book of Jude. The book of Jude. We will be studying tonight. This is our prelude from the 10th chapter of Hebrews. In the book of Jude, book before Revelation. Do we have it? If we have it, you say amen. All right, in verse number 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, who ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Korah is that one that caused an insurrection against Moses and Aaron. Now, listen how Jude, the brother of James, categorizes this spirit. These are spots in your feast of love, charity. Say they are among you. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without reverence of fear, their conscience is seared. Clouds, they are without waters. Carried about of winds, instability. Trees, and particularly this, trees whose fruit withered. Say they produce fruit, but their fruit withered without fruit. They're not able to produce any more fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Trees whose fruit withered without fruit now, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. For the sake of time, I will just read a few excerpts. But beginning with verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness. They had no deepness of earth or no depth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they had no root, or it had no depth or deepness, they withered. They were fruit, trees that bared fruit that withered away. And then an explanation of this is in verse 21. I'm sorry, 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root or depth in himself, but doeth or endureth for a time or for a while. For when tribulations, trials and tests, or persecution, or both, should we say, arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. Hold that and turn with me. I want to show you this too. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4. So now we're making a composite. Scripture interprets scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, that's the coming of the Lord, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of destruction or eternal damnation, perdition. Say, but the first sign is to look for a deterioration, a withering, a falling away, or should we say a fading away. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I think we're about set after this. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh particularly or expressly that in the latter times or the latter days some shall depart from the faith, fade or wither away, giving heed, not aware of it, to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking, you will know, they will speak lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron. Now let us proceed to Hebrews chapter 10. But to add some clarity to chapter 10 in Hebrews, let's look at chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we do not see with our natural eye. And the subject that I need you to, not normally don't give a subject, but this is in my mind. Fading faith. Fade means to withered. Fading faith. To grow dim or faint. To go into obscurity. To become indistinguishable, a silhouette, to cause. But when we say withering or to fade, it means to cause, to change gradually in strength. To cause, to change gradually in strength or vitality. Fading faith. Let's see who the writer to the Hebrews was referring to and why the Spirit of God necessitated him to write. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. To understand the context, we must read in chapter 10, beginning with verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Have you eaten here before?
Nope.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can I share our specials with you?
Sure.
First, we have the seafood special. It's actually been sitting around here for a week. Then there's the cream of chicken soup. It's had no refrigeration since it was made yesterday. We're known around these parts for our food poisoning. What can I get you?
Yeah, don't think we can stay for lunch.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
We must read in chapter 10, beginning with verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing. Say, it's dreadful to fall into the hands of the living God. This is talking about damnation, about judgment. Now he begins to delineate and outline and lay out, and it specifies who this message is for. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Let's examine the text. He said, I need you to recall or recollect after you were enlightened, after you received the revelation, after you were saved, the afflictions that you had to endure or persevere through. And he's asking them to draw off of their recollection. Say, bring it to your conscious mind. Let's look at it again. This is very important. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Say, after you got saved, remember what you had to endure to get you to where you are now. Obviously, from the structure of the textual writing, they had became unconscious. They were, should I say, unconscious, or had forgotten about how they got to where they were. So he's reminding them. Why is he reminding them? Because their faith was fading. Faith means to wither. Now, he isn't just talking about ordinary, run-of-the-mill, the common Christians. He's talking about those who had demonstrated, had survived intense persecution. Say, the worst is just about over with. And now he has to call back to their minds what they had once endured, a great fight of afflictions. Now, what is he trying to do? He's taking the unconscious, or should I say the subconscious, and bringing it to their conscious mind. Now, listen to me. The Bible says that there will be a falling away or a fading away or a withering from the faith. Say, the Lord cannot come until this is prevalent and very pervasive throughout all of the churches. A deterioration of the faith, a fading. But it is something that happens gradually. You begin to lose strength. Now, regrettably, I must give you some references. Everyone, just about without exception, that leaves a fall away, there's one characteristic of all of them. You've got to keep this in mind. They stop testifying. They have lost their testimony. So what do you mean? They don't feel an urge or necessity to talk about God publicly. And the reason why? Because consciously, they are alienated. They have alienated themselves from what God had done for them. So they didn't have anything to talk about. It was not afresh in their minds. Do you know why we talk so much about God and about Christ? Because we're keeping it conscious in our minds. And we're always reaffirming that God is still firm in our life. And we are still steadfast in his grace. That's why we talk about it. That's why we tell people about it. That's why we testify. We want to keep it conscious in our minds. Because if you don't talk about it out of sight, out of mind, unseen, untold, you'll forget. We must make ourselves accountable to all the brothers and sisters. How do we make ourselves accountable? We talk about, we testify, we praise God in the congregation of the righteous for what he has done and what he is doing. But when your faith is fading, here is a specialized group that endured a great fight of affliction. You thought that the struggles that they endured that get them to where they were, that it would be so entrenched, so indelible in their minds that nobody would have to remind them what they came from, where they came from. See, it doesn't matter how strong you once were. Doesn't matter about the might you once had. Not by might, not by power. But when the Lord says it's by my spirit, it means always depending on God. We must constantly reaffirm that we're depending on God. That's why we tell everybody about it. That's why we testify. We're making ourselves accountable. I want you to know that I'm still saved. That puts all eyes on you. It's an accountability. And when you aren't doing that, you're fading. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter how strong you once were. You are fading. And I'm trying to reach, not here, but everywhere. Whoever hears this on the sound of my voice, you must testify to keep your testimony active in your mind and in your conscious mind of what God has done. If not, you'll forget where God brought you from. You'll lose your urgency to stay close to God. You'll lose your inspiration, your motivation. You'll just be going through the motions. Church and prayer will be nothing more than a routine. But I've got to remind myself. The Bible talks about those that have forgotten where they were brought from, where God brought them from. We keep it fresh in our minds, our conscious mind, talking about it day in and day out, what God has done. And then we assume the obligation that the Bible talks about. Say, seek to excel to the edifying of the church. Say, I've got to edify others with my testimony about what God has done for me. What does the Bible say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You still remember how the Lord redeemed you? Say so. Are you conscious of how God is keeping you? Say so. God is making a way out of no way. Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's the way it ought to be. No wonder Paul told the church, awake thou that sleepeth. Say, those that are in a stupor. Say, your faith is fading. Say, awake thou, alert yourself. You'll never be as sober and as vigilant as you are unless that is up here. No wonder the songwriter said, when you see me coming, got him on my mind.
A bright future starts with a healthy lifestyle.
Pinocchio.
Good nutrition and physical activity are fuel for your child's mind and body.
Now you're talking!
And the food pyramid will help you find the right balance of everything you and your child need. Grains, vegetables, fruits, oils, milk, and meats and beans.
Nothing can stop me now.
Just remember, smart choices from every food group, along with the right amount of physical activity, can put everyone on the path to better health.
Look, the wishing star.
You don't have to make a wish for a healthier you to come true. Just eat right.
Here's an apple.
Be active.
Come on, I'll race you home.
And make it balance.
Attaboy, Pinocchio.
A healthy lifestyle can lead to great things for you and your child. Visit MyPyramid.gov to learn more. That's MyPyramid.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
And the songwriter said, when you see me coming, got him on my mind. Why? Because he's conscious. It's up here. It's here all the time. Always thankful. Always thinking about the Lord. Throughout the course of the day, you've got to have God on your mind. When you have a break from the normal routine of things in the daytime, whatever you're doing, God's got to come in your mind once in a while. I don't care how enthralled you are in the work, God still got to come in your mind. You can't even eat until you pray, because it's in your mind that God has made provisions for me. When you get up in the morning, thank you, Jesus, because God allowed us to see another day. And we got to be thankful that we didn't give up our faith on God. David testified the only way he was still in the land of the living, he said, I would have fainted unless I had believed. David said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Is the Lord good to you? I don't know about you. I said, but is the Lord good? David said, it wasn't because I was so strong. Said, because I believe that the Lord would keep and sustain me another day. Songwriter said, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. How about that? I couldn't keep it to myself. That's why I testify. That's why I praise the Lord. Cannot keep it to myself. I don't care how restricted you feel, something down inside of you won't let you sit down on God. Sit down if you please. I feel this is what I'm talking about. Devil ain't gonna put me on silence. I told you a few weeks when I was unsaved, I talked about God. How dare I let the devil put me on silence? When the Bible said, let the redeemed Lord say so, say so. Jeremiah said, I was weary from talking. I tried to restrain myself. I didn't want to speak in his name anymore. He said, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up in my bones. He said, I couldn't keep it. I could not. Jeremiah said, I could not hold it in. I had to tell somebody, by sit down if you please. He said, it's like fire. Fire. I was trying to hold it. I was trying to restrain myself. Jeremiah said, it was like fire. Only way I can explain it was shut up in my bones. He said, I was weary. He said, I had to let it come out. It had to burst out of me, Jeremiah was saying. Well, the writer here is trying to remind them, saying, come on. Say, how can you fade now at this point in your life after all God has brought you through? Not now. Don't let the devil put you on silence. Not now. Then in verse 33, he said, now I'm going to talk to you about some critical things. I'm going to put them in parts. Partly, whilst you were made a gazing stock. Say, you were made a public spectacle. So you're gazing stock, both by insults, reproaches, scorn, and affliction. Say, you were injured. And partly, whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. Say, when you saw others suffering, you did not distance yourself from them, but you became a partaker of their sufferings. Say, now remember where you came from. Remember the price that you paid to get to where you are now. Remember how God had to redeem you and how God had to rescue you. Remember all this time how God has been giving you the benefit of the doubt. Say, don't you forget that. Bring it consciously back to your mind. Look at this here, verse 34. For ye had compassion of me in my... Say, when I was incarcerated, restricted, and confined, say, you had compassion on me. Say, I'm writing you. I'm trying to encourage you. Say, I'm the one that inspired you. Say, you remember how you had compassion in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Say, you remember when everything you had was confiscated and you lost everything and it brought no sadness or despondency, but you counted joy for the Lord? Remember the loss that you suffered and you counted joyfully unto the Lord? Say, everything that you had, you lost. Say, didn't bring any grief to you. You did not count it as a loss. But when they took it away, when they compelled you to go a mile, you went 2 miles. When they smacked you on the right cheek, you turned the left cheek. When they sued you for your tunic, your undercoat, you gave them your outer coat. Say, remember what you suffered? Say, don't cancel it out now. Say, you had joy when they were confiscating everything that you had. What happened to the joy? Faith failed. And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Say, your thinking was differently then. Say, when your things, your possessions were being confiscated. Say, you know why it didn't bother you? Because your focus was in heaven. You knew that you had a better and enduring substance over there. The focal point of your life was not here, but over there. Everything here is sight. Over there is faith. Every one of us is governed by one or the other, sight or by faith. Now he's urged them, cast not away therefore your confidence. Say, don't give up now. After all you fought through and all you've endured, say, why give up now? Say, don't cast it away. Don't let your faith fail now. He's trying to encourage people that was injured, that were persecuted. They lost everything and they were getting weary with waiting. The patience had grown short. And that's one of the things the devil will exploit, is short or little patience. Make us feel justified that God should have vindicated us by now. So we've done this and we've done that. Devil will work on your minds like that, brothers and sisters. He'll make you discourage yourselves because you're walking by sight and not by faith. He said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Say, look. Say, not now. Say, it's too late. Say, the worst part is just about over with. You've endured too much. Don't faint now. Don't faint now. Say, bring it back to your mind of the greater trials and tests you've had throughout your life.
It's important to make sure your family has a plan in case of an emergency. We talked to this family to see if each of them knew where to meet if they were not together when something happened.
If a natural disaster happened and we were outside the home, we would all meet at the park. That's our meeting point.
Our meeting place is our neighbor's house because she is my mom's good friend.
We all have a meeting spot, which is a bus stop.
Is your plan any better? To learn more about making an emergency plan for your family, go to ready.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Say, not now. Say, it's too late. Say, the worst part is just about over with. You've endured too much. Don't faint now. Don't faint now. Say, bring it back to your mind of the greater trials and tests you've had throughout your life. Say, but not now. All the sacrifices, all the praying that you've done. Say, don't discount it now. He said, for ye have, verse 36, for ye have need, there's a need that we have tonight, brothers and sisters. Don't get antsy on God. Don't think that you're going to hurry God. Don't try to dictate to God, well, Lord, I've done this and I've done that, and you still haven't fulfilled your word. Be patient with God. God knows when to open a door, and God knows when to deliver us, and God knows when to speak peace in our lives. Trust God's discretion. He said, whatever you do, you need patience. Lord, help us. Help us all tonight to work some patience in us and keep it in us. Doesn't matter what any of us are going through tonight. Doesn't matter about how great the adversity might be. You know what James says? My dear brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, count it all joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work of patience. Then he said, let patience have her perfect work. Say, Lord, have thy own way. Say, in spite of how my flesh reacts, slay my flesh. Say, Lord, slay me. Say, Lord, kill my flesh. Slay it. That's an old saying needs to say, Lord. It really means, Lord, get rid of my will if you can. Slay me. That doesn't literally mean I'm talking figuratively. Slay me. He said, cast not away therefore your confidence, which you have great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Well, wait a minute. You have been injured. Everything you have been confiscated, and you still don't have anything to show for it. He said, that's all right. He said, your faith has great recompense or reward. Say, in spite of what has already happened, you still need patience. Doesn't matter what any of us have gone through, we still need patience. Doesn't matter how our body's wrapped in pain, you still need patience. Doesn't matter how often you paid your tithes and given your offerings, you still need patience. Doesn't matter what any of us have sacrificed, we still need patience. He was dealing with a critical time in their lives. Gradually, they had lost their strength, their steadfastness, their firmness. They lost it. Now they were fading. Anyone that becomes a silhouette, you can trace it directly to their faith. Faith has withered, fruit that has withered, and unable to produce any more fruit, has withered, has faded. He said that you might receive the promise. What was the promise? Worldly riches here? Mammon here? Earthly goods here? Was the promise that they were looking for? Look at the context. It talks about they lost everything, and there was going to be an exchange for what we are sacrificed down here. There's going to be an exchange. It's up there, not here. It's up there, not here. Watch that damnable doctrine about you got to get your stuff here. Your stuff is not here. It's there. Don't you let these preachers put you on a guilt trip about substance here. You don't need any substance here. You just need Jesus. Why do you think God inspired Luke to illustrate about a poor beggar called Lazarus, where the dogs came and licked his sores, but when he died, he was saved? The rich man had all his stuff and wind up in hell. All the stuff we need is in Jesus. Satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied with Jesus. Are we satisfied with Jesus? Are we satisfied with Jesus? Said he would be my comforter. Said he would be my God. Been baptized in Jesus' name. saved. Everything I need. I don't care if you're fatherless, motherless, wifeless, husbandless, childless, jobless, moneyless. Everything you need is in Jesus. Bible says it's joy. In Jesus is joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can you top being full of glory? There's no substance on this earth that can transcend God's glory and God's power and God's anointing in your life. The Bible says gain is not godliness. Having therefore food and raiment, let us therewith be content. He's saying, be content. Sit down if you please so I can hurry and finish. Say, be content. Satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied. Those are our cadence. Satisfied with Jesus. You need to tell yourself, satisfied with Jesus. Said it would be my comfort. Said it would be my God. Hey! Cadence, cadence, cadence. You know, satisfied. You know, in the military, hurt. One, two, three. Satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied with Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, 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 yes. See, the military doesn't really know how to march. We know how to march. We have the real cadence. That I was in, they have to have someone call out the cadence. One, two, three. But all we have to do is just think about it. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done, my soul cries out, Timothy, say, endure hardness as a what? A good soldier. Again, endure.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
You remember that ball game we went to a couple years ago?
Sure.
And how you didn't have enough cash for two hot dogs, so you walked with me on your shoulders until we found an ATM? And then when we got back to our seats, we never saw the hot dog guy again.
Well, I don't remember all that.
Yeah, that was an awesome game.
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I told Timothy, say, endure hardness as a what? A good soldier. Again, endure hardness as a good soldier. And if anybody know how to walk, hallelujah. When you see me coming, got him on my mind. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Yes, yes, yes. Sit down if you please. Let me hurry up and finish. My God, in Jesus' name. He said, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have received the will, you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. They don't give up now. He said, here's the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. I got to keep telling myself, and yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. I've got to remind myself, yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Soon and very soon, we will be leaving here. Soon and very soon. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come. Tell yourself that he's coming. Then he goes to him, he said, now look, the just shall live by faith. He said, your faith is fading, it has withered. He said, now reaffirm your faith. Say, reaffirm it, reestablish yourself. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back at this point, he's talking about, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Say, I'm not going to rejoice in this. He said, but ye are not of them which draw back. He said, already I know the outcome. He said, once you get it back in your mind, what God has done for you, he said, I know the outcome. He said, but ye are not of them which draw back unto perdition, that is eternal damnation, but of them that believe to the saving of their soul. Say, you know what? God is not finished with me yet. He that have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Say, we have Jesus, an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. One writer said, go tell it on the mountains. I've got to tell everybody what Jesus has done for me. Every time we come to church, I'm eager for the opportunity to tell somebody about what God has done. I'm thinking about what's the least we can do. When you put your life in perspective and look at all that God has done, and as bad as you think things are, they could have been worse. So we're thankful for that. The writer said, what shall I, never mind about anybody else, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his goodness to me? I don't know about anybody else. All his goodness to me. Say, I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll call on the name of the Lord. So if your faith is fading, say, Lord, I'm turning around. Say, I'm turning back. Say, I prayed before, but never like I should have. Say, I came to church, but never with the urgency like I should have. Say, I feel just like blind Bartimaeus. Said by Jericho, said there was a blind man. He was sitting there begging. He heard a crowd. We got a crowd here tonight. There's a crowd. Somebody's talking about Jesus. And the blind man, even though he couldn't see, he felt something and he heard something. He heard the crowd talking about Jesus. When he heard who Jesus was, he began to cry out, my Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He cried so much unrestrainedly. Listen to me, unrestrainedly, that the people said, hold your peace. But every time they tried to get him to stop calling his name, say, he got louder. Somebody, you need to get louder. You need to call him louder. Let us call him by his name. His name is Jesus. Don't you let nobody stop you from calling his name. They tried to stop him. They tried to shut him up. But when they tried to stop him, if you know the devil's trying to stop you, just get W-I-L-D. Just get wild. Calling by his name. His name. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Say, look, devil. Tell the devil, no. Listen. Tell the devil, no restraint here. No restraint here. Say, I'll get loud. Say, I'll look like a fool and sound like a fool, but I'll get loud. Say, I'll do it on my job. I'll do it at home. I'll do it in the neighborhood. I'll do it in the car. I'll do it everywhere I go. I'll get loud. Does everybody know what W-I-L-D? Say, I'll get wild with Jesus. Hey! They tried to stop blind Bartimaeus. When they started that no restraints on him, but he got his attention. And Jesus stopped, said, bring him over here. Remember the song, I cried and I cried. I prayed and I prayed. I mourned and I mourned. My soul would not rest contented until I found the Lord. The psalmist says, finally, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We have to find the secret place. Remember the characteristics. If the devil puts you on silence, it's just a matter of time, because your testimony is not conscious in your mind, and then you will have no spiritual activity. See, if you have no spiritual activity, there's another sign. The king's business requires what? Haste. David says the king's business requires haste. Work while there's daylight, for the nighttime comes when no man shall be able to work.
Don't forget to join Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Gospel Impact Radio.